Amen. Good morning. How's everyone? Thank you. It's good to be back. Thank you, Miss Marianne, for the piano. Appreciate that very much. So, yes, it's good to be back. Thank you guys for allowing Lynn and I to go on a little vacation. We had a blast. We had fun. We rested. It was adventurous. You're like, okay, whatever. That's good. But we did. We had a good time. And for some of you who don't know, I try to take Lynn on a little Valentine's Day cruise every February. And so we had an opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic and to Grand Turk Islands. And Caicos Islands was at the Grand Turk, and we're in the bathroom, and this is gonna be clean. We're in the bathroom, and we're hearing Southern gospel music in the Caribbean. You know, usually you're hearing the steel drums and some kind of Jamaican stuff. And we walked outside, and my sister-in-law, you know, sings in a Southern gospel band. She says, "I think I'm hearing things." She says, "That sounds like Vesta Goodman singing." Anybody know who I'm talking about? Vesta Goodman? "That's singing a Southern gospel song in the Caribbean." And I was like, "I think I heard the same thing," because it was real quiet in the background. And so we got back home late Friday night. I was posting some things on Facebook, and Bill from WAFT, he posted, "Yeah, that's where we went. We went to Grand Turk Islands and set up a big Christian radio station tower there, and we're pumping out Southern gospel music." And I was like, "Cool, right on." So the gospel's getting spread all over the world through WAFT, right down the road, right? Wafted on the rolling tides. Remember when they used to say that? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. So I heard that, you know, my friend Pat, they did his granddaughter, I think is what they said. Was it granddaughter? He wasn't here. Granddaughter, right. Did some music. That was good. That was good. And the young fellow preached Sunday night. Do you guys remember him? He was here. Remember him? Right on. So, and then while we were gone, Billy Graham passed away. I'm sure you guys all knew that before we did. Bless his heart. 99. And what a great man of God. Probably most of us in here have some kind of little story to tell about Billy Graham, maybe. Maybe not. I know I got saved in Okinawa, Japan when I was in the military. And I actually, we came back. I was overseas and came back to California. There was Camp Pendleton. And I went to the Billy Graham crusade with a bunch of friends that also got saved at Anaheim Stadium when he did a crusade there and did my first public profession of faith. And another like 5 million people came down and I had the Billy Graham crusade there. So that was real special to me. And I feel like God was stirring in my heart to get in the ministry at that time, a long time ago. So praise the Lord for Billy Graham. Amen. And we inserted into the bulletin Billy Graham's last words before he passed. I thought that was real precious. So please take it home with you and read it. He did a little newsletter, email column called My Answer. Wasn't that what it's called? My Answer. And it was like his little answer to certain questions that people would call in. And so he did his last My Answer. You know, so I thought that was real precious. Thought you would like that. So, yeah, good morning. If we're still in the book of Romans, so if you've been with us, we're gonna try our best to go as far as we can in the book of Romans. I'm not sure, as I say that, it's my disclaimer every morning, every Sunday morning. I'm not sure how long, you know, we'll go through the book of Romans, but we're still in Romans chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with us. I believe Derry's going to pop it up on the screen, Romans chapter 1. And we're going to go start out in verse 7, where we finished up a little bit there, and we're going to go to verse 25. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, it is good to be back. Lord, you know that we missed everyone, and everybody's so precious to us, and it's good to be back with our church family. And Father, I ask this morning for a special request, Lord. You know I've been asking you all week to help me with this message because it is kind of strong and something that you put on my heart even during our little vacation cruise. And Father, I just ask that you help me and help me say it right. And Holy Spirit, I'm completely dependent upon you like I am every morning. But this particular morning, is I ask you to help me out so much. So, Lord, we just lift up all the prayer requests in our bulletin, Lord. And just ask that your will be done in those families. I mean, a lot of folks passing away in our area this week and last week. And just ask that you comfort the families and help them out. And Lord, your will be done. And bless this word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let me change glasses here. How about that? Jeez, that's not going to help. All right, so Romans 1, 7 through 32. 7 through 32. So I'm going to read it together, and we're going to go back, and we're going to kind of dissect this scripture. So I'm in the New King James Version, Romans 7. It says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 10, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Verse 13, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor to both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Everybody said amen? Amen? Now, this is the Word of God now. This is not Dallas' opinion this morning, okay? So y'all hang on and put your big boy and big girl britches on. Lynn and I had the opportunity to go to an amazing place this week. We spent an entire day, almost an entire day, in going through the inner cities of the Dominican Republic. We went through the cities and through the Puerto Plata and went through the city into the inner cities and on out into the country, way into the jungles, a couple-hour drive. And we had the opportunity to go through a Haitian village and stop and talk to the kids and did see. I mean, it was a big eye-opener. And for some of you, this is not new to you. You've seen in Haiti and all that. But it was very eye-opening for us. And even the other folks that were on the cruise for us, it was like you could see it. They're all talking, laughing. By the time we got through there, they were all like, man, I'm so glad to live in America. And they were real grateful because it was very poor and just devastating, you know. And then we tried to have fun and enjoy ourselves, but it was a real big eye-opener for us. And so I'm going to talk some more a little bit about that. And but God, you know, spoke to my heart about some things during our little cruise time. And I want to share with him this morning with you. And I was like, Lord, how am I going to tie this in to Romans and where we're at in Romans? And so when I got back, you know, I got my Bible out on the cruise ship and read this. And it just, like God said, you know, just laid it all out. This is the answer to my prayer during that time. So let's go back to verse 7. And we're going to look at verse 7 and we're going to go through each verse, not every verse. We're going to go each verse and verse by verse. So Paul, again, is talking to the Romans. He's talking about grace. He's laying a foundation. And so follow along with me in your Bible, if you will. It says, verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved. This word beloved means favorite. Now, sometimes you think, okay, God doesn't have favorites, but you need to read the Scripture. If you look at the Greek, this means favorites. It means dear to heart. It's like, David was the apple of his eye, right? And so this what this means is God's looking at these folks and these Christian believers, and he's viewing them as his favorite. They're dear to his heart. And God called them to be saints. If you look at that word called, it means to be invited. In other words, we're invited into the family of God. The Holy Spirit brings us into the family of God. The Holy Spirit, you know, convicts us of our sins and shows us that how desperate we are in need of a Savior. So we're invited, we're called to be saints. That's what Paul's telling them here. And that word saints means holy. It means righteous. It means good to go. And the only way that we can ever be holy and righteous, the only way is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that flowed down that old rugged cross. The death, burial, and resurrection. Being born again. So when we stand before God one day, only holy and blameless and spotless, because Jesus is coming back for a spotless church without wrinkle, you know, or stain. So the only way that we can ever be that way is through our grace, through God's grace to us. Our faith in Jesus Christ, that when Jesus died on the cross, He did everything for us. There's nothing for what we did. What we do, what we can do is those filthy rags, right? So it's everything. We are saints, and that's what Paul is saying. We're invited to be. Now, it goes on to say, grace to you and peace. Think about this. When it says this peace right here in the scripture, peace, it means tranquility. It means, listen to this now, don't let this go over your right. Catch this because it's real important. It means no inner war, no conflict. Paul's trying to get them to see that if you understand this grace that I'm preaching now, this grace, what Christ done on the cross for us, it brings tranquility. It brings peace of mind. The inner war, the conflict is over. And that inner war is this whole thing right here. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Is my sacrifice enough or is it not enough? Am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? Did I give enough? Am I not giving enough? You know, that's that internal conflict, that war that people had within themselves. And they had to wait a whole year, you know, before we can, you know, make all this right. And Paul's saying, look, Paul's sharing to these folks this grace, this mercy. And even today, right now, people still have this conflict, this inner war. And Paul's saying, no, you can know that you're saved. You can know that it has nothing to do with what you're doing or not doing. It has everything to do with what Jesus has already done on the cross. He's paid the price. We can have that inner peace. Verse 8, Paul says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ. That word thank is more of a gratitude. In other words, he is so grateful. He is so grateful that he's hearing about their faith. Their faith is being spoken of all over the world. And Paul is so grateful. He says in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Right there, he's talking about soul, his mind, will, and emotion. Then he goes on and talks about how he's, without ceasing, he keeps praying for them. You know, you think about that on the surface, you know, how can he just not always praying? Well, Paul lays it out right here. In his soul, he's continually praying for them and being grateful for them. In your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you have a thought about your children or a thought or grandchildren or just a little appreciation or gratitude, man, I'm so grateful for my wife, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. Just an attitude of gratitude. That's a prayer. If something touches your emotions in a godly way, a holy way, a righteous way, that's a prayer. Man, that touches my heart. Thank you, Jesus. That's a prayer, right? Those are prayers. This is what Paul's lining up. Verse 10, he says, making request if by some means. Look at this. The other translation says somehow. See, Paul hadn't went to visit them yet, so he's been praying and asking God to go and visit them. And look, right here, Paul is telling us that he's human. He's not a Marvel comic hero. You know, he's not a superhero. Paul had no idea how he was going to be able to go and visit them. He was like, well, somehow, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm trusting God that I'm going to be able to come and visit you someday. Not sure. God hadn't told me. I don't even really have a plan. But somehow, by some means, I'm going to be able to come and visit you. What's that called? Faith. That's called faith. That's called faith. Verse 11, for I long to see you. So Paul was longing to see them. He wanted to see them. Now check it out. This is why. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift. Now I looked up that word gift, and that word is specifically the gift of salvation. Paul knew that he had this gift that he could be able to preach to people, to teach people. And it was the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all see this? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gift. And he goes on to say, so that you may be established. And that word established means to set firmly in a foundation. And his foundation being the family of God. In other words, Paul, that's why he was such a man of passion, because he knew that he had good news. And he had a gift that he wanted to be able to give. And he couldn't wait to get there. He wanted to see some fruit. And he had a gift. The gift of salvation. Let me share with you a little story about our cruise team. These little videos out there, please make them go away. Pick you up some. If you don't know, this is the entire book of Luke, just literally the book of Luke. I believe it's Luke, right? I think it's Luke. Yeah. Made into a movie. It's pretty entertaining. It's been shown millions of people, over 1,000 languages. This particular DVD has 24 languages. Please give them away, specifically the people from foreign nations, you know, like Mexican restaurants, Chinese restaurants, people, you know, just like that kind of thing. I took, 10 or 15 of them on the cruise ship with me, and the whole 5 days, five nights, I kept one or two in my pocket, you know. I didn't want to be that weirdo guy, you know, running around giving out videos. But I waited till the Holy Spirit opened up little windows. Remember what I'm talking about? I'd pray. And I wanted to give it to the people on the ship that work there, because they're from all over the country. I mean, all over the world. Literally, all over the world. You see the little name tag said, you know, some country I've never heard of, you know. So I'd give them out here and give them out there. And they'd always say, really? Me? A gift? Because they're like serving, like, you know, like we're a bunch of kings running around and queens, you know. And they're like, really, me? Oh, they're like, oh, yeah. And one of them said, oh, Jesus, you know, in their own little language. Oh, they were like, thank you, you know. And I want them to go back to their cabin and maybe watch it with a couple of other, you know, crew members and that kind of thing. And so I pray that it does. But here's a sweet little story for you. The lady that was cleaning our room, you know, they get gratuities and they get tips and that kind of thing that comes out. And so Lynn and I, she was real sweet, about this big, about 39 pounds, you know. And she was from Indonesia. And real sweet, her name is Ni Knut. Hope I got that right. N-I-K-I-N-U-T. I'm going to pray for her, right? So Lynn and I'm not trying to brag. God knows my heart about this, and I don't care. I'm just going to tell you. But we left her $50, you know, in a little envelope. And I wrote on it, you know, here's your, you know, extra tip. Thank you for being nice and taking care of us. You made us little animals with towels, you know. And I said, in the DVD underneath it, the movie is yours for free. It's your gift. So I left it there on the last night. We were going somewhere. Then we came back, and we were walking down the hallway, and she saw me and Lynn, and she goes, oh. And she started running toward her. She went, oh, hey. And she just walked and gave Lynn a big hug. And she walked to me and gave me a hug, you know, hey. Gave me a hug. And it was so precious because she thanked us for the money, you know. And for her, that was probably a good amount of money. I mean, you know, a good amount of money. She said, tomorrow, when we dock tomorrow, you know, the next day in Port Canaveral, she said, tomorrow is my last night on Carnival. She said, tomorrow, I'm not going to look at Lynn. She said, it's my last time on Carnival. She said, I'm going back to Indonesia to be with my family. And she said, thank you for the movie. She said, I'm going to take that movie and I'm going to gather all my family and we're going to watch it together. I mean, that's precious to us. And we hugged her, and me and Linda went to the cabin and started crying. I'm just a little country preacher, you know, giving out these little movies that I got for free and planting a seed. And this little sweet girl, young lady, she's probably 40 maybe, you know, right? 40, 45. And this week, hopefully, this little family, Indonesia, and it's got Indonesia right here. It's got their language. So they can, she can speak a little bit of English, you know, but she can sit around with her family. And I'm just trust God that they get saved and born again. And that's sweet. And that's a gift. That's a gift of salvation. That's a gift of grace. It's a gift of mercy. It could change an entire generation or family just from that one little act. You can do that. We can do that. We can keep doing that, can't we? You never know how it's going to impact people. But that's why Paul, again, was so excited about going here in the book of Romans, because he knew he had this gift and he was motivated for it. He was going to go share it. So let's pray for Nikonit. Verse 12. I'm going to go over a little bit today, guys, so you'll hang with me. That is, that I may be encouraged. And that word encouraged means to comfort one another. See, Paul knew that we needed to encourage one another. He knew that when he went to the Romans, he went to those folks, he was going to be encouraged. He was going to encourage them, and they were going to encourage him. You ever work with someone and you see their life change and they get saved and born again, and a year or two or three later you link up with them and they're like, thank you, man. My life's changed. It's great. I got saved. I'm going to church. My wife and I got back together. Whatever. You know, my husband stopped being mean to me. He found Jesus, you know. It's a beautiful thing. It will encourage you, won't it? You see that in the youth ministry a lot, I'm sure. But it will encourage you. Especially going to places you guys have been on mission trips. Paul knew that, and Paul needed to be encouraged, didn't he? He did. Verse 13. It says, know that I did not... You know, in other words, Paul was saying he wanted to go, but his plans would get hindered from time to time. But he knew that God had a plan for him, and he had faith, and he was going to work it out. Verse 14, he says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians. Barbarians, that's kind of a fun thing to say, isn't it? Barbarians. Sorry. Man thing, sorry. Barbarians. But it basically just means non-Greeks. You know, it's not very... cool at all, really. It just means non-Greeks, you know. But anyway, he talks about, you know, Paul says he's in debt. In other words, he's this bondservant for Christ, and he's going and he's talking to everybody. It doesn't matter if they're wise or if they're unwise. So I kind of looked that up. I was like, what does that really mean, wise? What's the Bible talking about there? And this is the things that it listed in the Greek. It said the wise people back then were considered to be writers, medical practitioners, farmers, builders, Greek philosophers, public speakers, Jewish theologians, Christian teachers, and those with advanced education were considered to be wise in those days. The unwise were the folks that were illiterate and uneducated and non-skilled and foolish and simple-minded. And I'm not sure quite where I fit in there, but right? That was a little bit of information that was kind of useless, but I thought it was fun. So, you know, hang with me on that. Verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready. In other words, that word ready in the Greek means willing. I am willing to do it. I am ready and I am willing to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed. And that word ashamed, if you look that up in the Greek, it means to be embarrassed for oneself. And I had to get a little checked on that one because I first put these DVDs in my pocket. You know, I was like, I don't want to be that religious weirdo, freaky dude running around giving out movies. It was kind of a little bit embarrassing at the beginning. Has anybody ever felt like that? You know, I don't want to talk. It's embarrassing. Knock on these people's door, you know, in a foreign country. It was kind of embarrassing. You got to get past that, don't you? You got to realize you have a gift. I'm a little embarrassed to talk to my coworker. I don't know. I don't invite my coworker to church. It's kind of, you know, embarrassing. I don't want to be that, you know, hyper-religious, super-spiritual person. Maybe God's calling you to just realize, like Paul's realized, you have a gift. The gift that you have could heal someone's marriage. Right? You don't know. Share your gift. It was free. It was given to you, wasn't it? Let's give it away. Share your gift. I don't know. It's a gift. It's a gift. Don't be embarrassed. Paul said that, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and then for the Gentile. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness, which is the right standing with God based on our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is written, the just shall live by faith. And that word just right there is the same as the righteousness word. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word. I don't know why they didn't put the same word. Who knows? That's not for me to question, is it? But when you look it up in the Greek, it's literally the same word. It means righteousness. In other words, the righteous folks, the just, shall live by faith. Now, let me change gears with you a little bit. Everybody with me? When we're going through the Dominican Republic, which is, you know, this whole little island here, some of us Haiti and some of us DR, we're cruising through this little area and we're going past the beach, going to where we're going to the jungle area. Beautiful. I mean, emerald water, you can just see crystal clear, and it starts turning this real beautiful blue, and then this dark blue towards the end of it, and it was really beautiful. And then we started turning this corner, and the guy says, look over there, and there's this little tiny island about as big as a sanctuary, just popping up rather, sticking up, and there was this big statue on it. And the statue, he went in this whole 5-minute, you know, dissertation almost of this statue. And he said, this is King Neptune. And King Neptune, you know, standing there in his fish-looking self with the trident. Trident and this big statue. And that's probably 8-10 foot tall. And he was serious. He said that ever since they put this King Neptune statue up there, they haven't had a hurricane yet. So now they celebrate this. I thought to myself, yeah, you just keep trusting King Neptune. We'll see how that's going to work out for you. We'll be sending you some more aid. Anyway, you know, I was trying to be merciful and not judge the people too. You know, I was going back and forth. And so he began to explain this. And then as he turned the corner, there's this big park area. And he says, was it every month or every year? It was every year. They had this big festival where King Neptune and his lover, you know, which is, you know, who was the Greek guy of the ocean? Poseidon. And Neptune was the cat that was supposed to be the king over the rivers and the sea and that kind of thing, and they were in cahoots, whatever. But anyway, he said they have a festival every year because King Neptune's lover, sorry youth, but this is the stupid stuff that's out there in the world, has been around for a long time. His lover was Cialis, right? And Cialis, and so they would get together and have a time, and they would celebrate in this area, and this celebration that the real folks had there was this big giant party, and they'd get drunk and party, and that just began to come over me, like the Holy Spirit just began to come over me. It's like, because I was asking God, you know, why is it such a beautiful place? Beautiful mountains. I'm talking about mountains where the palm trees are going up the mountains, you know what I mean? You don't see that around here. You've got pine trees and other kind of evergreen trees and all that. They were palm trees going up the mountains. It was just beautiful. And the water, and I was like, Lord, why is... You know, and we just saw so much poverty. And here we have a church on every corner. I started watching and paying attention as I'm riding in the little, you know, actually we're in this little bus trying to get to where we're going to get on the carts, you know, dune buggy carts. And I started, Lord, why is this so much poverty and wickedness? And like, here we have a church on every corner. There's a bar or a nightclub on every corner, every return. And it was like, every 10 or 15 young ladies were pregnant. I mean, it was just like crazy. They were all walking, like popped out everywhere. There was bars and nightclubs on like every corner, all the way through the whole thing. and crazy people driving on. You know what I'm talking about? What are you calling them? Mopeds. I was like, Lord, why is this such a beautiful place? And the Holy Spirit just started coming over like this. It's all about the scripture and everything that came together and what I'm about to finish reading to you. And I feel like this is what God told me about that. And verse 18, and I think this also applies to the world. It applies to America and Europe and Africa and all around the world right now in these last days. Verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." And those countries over there, as some of you know more than I do, 80% of them is this mixture of Catholicism and voodoo. And I started researching it more when I got home. And it is crazy what they're doing, how far they went from when the Spanish came over and basically, you know, brought in Christ, and then how far they went to the right, to the left, or wherever the heck they went. They went way away from God. I know that much. Verse 19 says, "But because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." And this came to me so clearly that and we'll see in the next verse, they have no excuse. We have no excuse. They have no excuse. God has shown them. Verse 20 says how? "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Everybody say clearly seen. "Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even in His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You, if you turn your back on God, a man shall reap what he sows. At the smallest level in our own individual lives, or on a huge level like an entire country or an island or a continent. There's no way that a man in the right mind can look at a beautiful sea like we saw and think there's no creator. There's no God, almighty creator. There's no way to look at a beautiful little parrot, you know, with the beautiful colors, right? And say there's no God or there's no creator. Verse 21 says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." And when a man's foolish heart gets darkened, and theirs from the sexual lusts and the fornications begin to birth. Verse 22 says, "They were professing to be wise, and they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, and made like corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed animals, and the creeping things." They placed a statue of a mythological, made-up God in the form of a man to protect them from a hurricane. And all the other things that I don't even have time to mention that I researched on their voodoo worship rituals that included animals and birds and creeping things. America needs to take a look at this, don't we? The world needs to take a look at this. Verse 24 says, "Therefore God, who gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Verse 25, "who exchanged the truth of God for the lie." They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Boy, let's none of us fall for that trick. trick of the devil, straight up, isn't it? Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up. I looked up that word. I said, God, you got to help me with this one. So what does this mean? I looked it up in the Greek, did some studies on this, and this is what it says. It says that God gave them over to their own hands. That's what when you look up the Greek of that. God just gave them up to their own hands. Okay, if you want to do that, go get you some then. If this is what you want to do, go ahead then. I'll be right here. I said I'd never leave you, never forsake you, and I'll be right here. But if you want to go off into those, following those young folks, drinking and drugging, when you know good and well that it's the wrong thing to do, God will say, all right, I'll try to help you and I'll try to convince you and the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. But after a while, God will say, all right, you go ahead then and get all that you want. Go get you some. See how that works out for you. Right, guys? Young folks, please listen to that one. Amen? Even us older folks. Just gave it up to vile passions. And I'm not going to go into detail about that, but we're all grown. We understand what that means. In other words, just morally, I looked at the Greek on that, the morally bad. Just morally bad. For even the women exchanged unnatural. And likewise, also the men, and we understand that scripture. This is very clearly. Homosexuality is wrong, and it's wicked, and it's a sin. And I'm sorry if that offends you, or if your mama or daddy is homosexual, or if your brother or sister is. I apologize. But I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's very clearly that homosexuality is wrong and is wicked. And I believe that it only ends in death and destruction. It's not what I'm saying. It's what the Bible clearly says, right? Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Some translations say reprobate mind. And this is what that means. Debased, reprobate. This is what it means. It means acts which no one in their right mind would approve of. Think about that. I looked at what the Greek too, and it says, it's acts that no one in their right mind would approve of. Well, I hear that kind of stuff being a drug and alcohol counselor. I can tell you some nightmare stories they make crazy movies about. Jesus help us, right? Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual morality, right on down to everything we just listed, right on down to they are whisperers. And that word, they are whisperers. What that means is they're secret slanderers. Secret slanderers. In other words, we run over here and like little snakes talking about people, right? Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about them? Did you hear about that? I'm not really sure, but I heard he did this and I heard she did that. Be careful of that, guys. Right? Watch out for that. Oh, verse 30. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Lord Jesus, when you get so deep into this that you can claim the title of I invented this evil, wicked thing? Inventors of evil and wicked stuff. We probably don't even know what the craziness that goes on over there or over here in some of our inner streets, inner cities. I've heard horror stories. Crazy, crazy stuff coming right out of Stone Creek in Valdosta. Seriously. So it's everywhere. It's the wickedness. Undeserving, untrustworthy. Not only does the DR in Haiti, which is the island of, how do you say it, Gary? Hispaniola? needs to repent. The United States of America needs to repent. The world, some Protestant churches in America. I'll call it out, the Episcopal Church. I have no idea. I don't understand what they're thinking. Repentance most of the time should come from our own personal lives. It should start there. It should start in our own personal lives. It should start in our homes, in our country. We all know 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? If my people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Deuteronomy 4:19. And be aware, and not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun or the moon or the stars or the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heavens. Psalms 81:9, which is the memory verse for this week. Psalms 81:9. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. And we get into details about that, but we sure don't have time. Deuteronomy 8:19. This is powerful, but this is the Word of God. I'm going to read it. Then it shall be, if you, everybody say if. Yeah. And I say this specifically for that country. I'm sure there's some great, wonderful people in Haiti. I know they are. I know they are. There's some great, wonderful people in the Dominican Republic. This just happens to be my experience this week. That if you do, by any means, forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. How much more clear can you get? If you look up that word perish, it means to wither, to decay, to rot, and to eventually be no more. Exodus 23:6, and I'm closing now. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or in the waters, or under the waters. It's amazing, isn't it? You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, and to the third and fourth generations to those who hate me. Verse 6 of that says, but. Everybody say, but. But showing mercy to thousands and thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Oh, Jesus, are you grateful today for God's grace and mercy? We could be sitting right over there just as deceived, couldn't we? We could. But God called you. God called you. Every one of you. God called you. You could be sitting over there in Haiti right now, believing whatever your family has taught for the last 10 generations. But God called you. He invited you. I feel grateful just to be in America. I feel grateful that Jesus called me and saved me. Let's examine our hearts this morning to make sure that we've repented of our sins and that we've turned from the wicked ways or whatever false god that we may have been serving. My question this morning for you is, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been called into the family of God? Have you accepted the invitation of the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this word. I know it's sometimes salty, sometimes direct. Lord, the Word of God is not always fluffy and pink and all those emotional things that sometimes we just want to hear. Lord, I believe you spoke to us clearly this morning about our own personal individual lives and our area and our in Georgia here, the United States, our country, and the world. Lord, search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in it. If there's one here this morning that has never given their life to Christ, Lord, I pray that they'll come down and we do the song of invitation and talk to me, and we'd be glad to settle that this morning. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.